start to laugh. And then everyone around started to laugh. Because giving Krishna happiness is the cause of all happiness. If you water the root of the tree, the whole tree is nourished. If Krishna's happy, everyone's happy. If Krishna laughs, everyone laughs. If Krishna's not pleased, everyone is displeased. Hare Krishna. We have seen with Srila Prabhupada, sometimes he would be telling a joke, Bengali joke. None of us could understand it at all. Didn't make any sense. We couldn't understand how this is funny. But Srila Prabhupada would be laughing as he'd be telling it. And because he'd laugh, everyone would spontaneously start laughing out of joy. The only reason we knew we were laughing is because when Prabhupada laughs, we laugh. Why he's laughing, we'll never understand. Maybe when we become pure devotees, we'll understand this joke. But it doesn't matter. When he was laughing, everyone laughed from their heart of hearts, laughing. And when he was upset, nobody laughed. Impossible. Because that is love. You are so much affected by the person you love. When you love your child, when your child's happy, you're happy. When your child's sad, you cannot find any happiness by any means in the entire universe until you make your child happy. That is love. But the most perfect love is the parental affection of Yashoda for Krishna in this sense. So Yashoda would pick up Krishna. And then he would fall on her lap, and she would laugh. He would laugh, she would laugh, everyone would laugh. And while she was doing this, Krishna was thinking, a demon is coming, and I do not want my mother to be disturbed too much by this demon. This little one-year-old child, he knows everything, past, present, and future. He's within everyone's life.
Each of you, somehow or other, to help you to become more committed to the ultimate purpose of life, which is to purify our hearts through the chanting of the names of God, service to the Vaishnavas, and preaching to the fallen souls. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Udupi, he inquired from some of the leaders of the Tattvavadi Sampradaya, what is the goal of life and how to achieve it. And their reply was to achieve Vaikuntha through very carefully executing our particular varnas and ashrams. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, this is not the actual perfection of life. The actual perfection is pure unconditional love for Krishna. And in the age of Kali, the only way to achieve it is by the 9 processes of devotional service, which begins with hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. Certainly the Varnashram system has great relevance and importance, inasmuch it properly situates a person in life to continue throughout their life hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, associating with devotees, chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra attentively and sincerely, according to our vows, remembering Krishna. These 9 processes of devotional service, which were so beautifully delineated by Sri Prahlad Maharaj, is the essence of all spirituality. When Lord Chaitanya was asked of the nine, as the name of Lord is entering into our ears and into our heart, we should, with humility and sincere devotion, attentively welcome the Lord into our heart. This folding of palms is namaskar. It means to bow down with great humility to welcome a respectable person. And Krishna is the supreme most respectable person. So in a spirit of gratitude and humility, let us welcome Krishna's name into our heart as we are listening. And as you are chanting, please raise your arms like this. Everyone. High. When we raise our arms, we are chanting the holy names and offering our lives. Our body, mind, words, our very life at the lotus feet of His holy name. And we are calling out the holy name like a child calls out for its mother, that you are my only refuge. I offer myself to you. Please save me. This is the transcendental dance, which is the perfection of all asanas, the perfection of all pranayam, the perfection of all entertainment, the perfection of everything and every subject, is to dance in this way that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught, and very seriously and loudly chant Krishna's holy names. And also to create a sense of more unity, Srila Prabhupada taught us how to move our legs during this wonderful spiritual process of dancing. You can demonstrate, please. This is Rohini Nandan Prabhu, the illustrious brother of Mahaprabhu Prabhu. Hare Krishna. This is called the Swami step. So everyone will do. Please do not be ashamed. You should be ashamed to not do it. If you don't do this, everyone will look at you like you're an outcast. If you do it, everyone will think, oh, very nice.
Itching so bad.
To Vrindavan. And there you should study Bhagavatam under Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. So he had to do many other things on the way by the will of the Lord. And ultimately he came to Vrindavan, he came to Mathura. He was at Vishramghat taking his bath. And he saw people weeping and crying. He said, what's happened? He said, you have not heard? Rupa and Sanatan have left the world. And again, he fell unconscious. And Rupa Sanatan appeared to him. And Lord Chaitanya also appeared to him. He told him that you should take initiation from Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And you should study Bhagavat from Jiva Goswami. So he went to Vrindavan. He went to the Govindaji temple, and there he met Jiva Goswami. And Jiva Goswami brought him to the Radharaman temple, and there he found his guru, Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and he surrendered to his lotus feet. And the first thing Gopal Bhatta Goswami did,
Shiva Shati Gauja Bhakta Vrinda. Thank you. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Prabhupada, as a client, as a customer, he saw him as a friend, because Srila Prabhupada treated him like a friend. He treated everyone in a very personal way, as a friend. He was crying alone in the wilderness. He was struggling. Why would anyone go through all this? It makes no common sense at all by material standards. If you're doing it and you have God brothers, God sisters, family members saying, very nice, you are doing good service. His family members, they were very upset that he left. His God brothers and God sisters, they didn't give him the slightest bit of credit for anything, because they thought he should just be working in our mutt and doing service for us. What is he doing independent? Nobody! No encouragement! No money! So much work! Old man, he would walk to the printer every day. He wouldn't spend a paisa for food, he wouldn't spend a paisa for his breakfast, or even for his transportation. He would walk a long distance there, a long distance back, just to save the money for paper. So much inconvenience. Why? Do you know anyone like this today? Because he understood what's happening in America. Civil rights, battle, violence, hatred between different color people, building of wars, potentially destroying a great quantity of the planet due to different races, the Russians and the Americans. Here in India, in every nation, Srila Prabhupada saw so many terrible, disastrous consequences that can come due to ignorance. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada had burning desire. My life, let me live every moment of it in compassion for the human society that is suffering so terrible in this world of ignorance. He struggled like this for 10 years with no help, with no funding, nothing, until a few young American men decided, let me help. And then gradually, little by little by little. Have you been to the Lower East Side of New York, 26 Second Avenue? Tiny little place in a very run-down, poor neighborhood. Same was the Second Temple in San Francisco, Frederick Street in the Haight-Ashbury district. The average Americans thought that district was so poor that it wasn't even fit for human habitation. It was only a place for hippies, Hare Krishna, who were used to living in any condition of life. That's where he started his first temples. Even in America, the first back to Godheads, there wasn't even a printer. They would just use a ditto machine and just crank it with a handle like and it would only be a few pages, and someone would just be going mimeograph, it's called. You had to take each letter, little rubber letter, and slide it into a bar, and you had to make the whole magazine like that, and then you go put ink on the letters and go put ink. In America, that's how he was printing back to God. What type of determination did Srila Prabhupada have? What type of sacrifice? For decades, not just 1 year, 2 year, 3 years. For decades he lived like this. out of compassion. As the most illustrious embodiment of the mercy of Guru and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it was due to that that we have all been given Krishna consciousness. There would have been no hope in our lives of receiving this transcendental mercy. Srila Prabhupada did not go through what he went through. And therefore it is very important for us to understand the life of Srila Prabhupada so that we can actually be grateful to him. And after he did all this for us, with tears in his eyes.
We have all experienced that. We have competitors, we have mosquitoes that bite us, and we have snakes that are looking for us. And what to speak of in human society? Wherever you go in this age of Kali, there's always politics. I have never been anywhere where politics doesn't come up. What to speak in business or in government? If you just go to... If two people go to sweep a street together, there will be two political parties after some amount of time. It's the nature of the world. And then there is miseries caused by natural disturbances. Sometimes there's earthquakes, sometimes there's floods, there's too much heat, there's too much cold, there's drought, there's flood. Innumerable. Hurricanes, cyclones, volcanoes, polar ice caps melting. So many things can happen in this world. And the soul is looking for real pleasure. And Krishna is trying to teach us that this marginal energy, the nature of the soul is to find pleasure in the absolute truth, in the spiritual energy. But somehow or other we have become so conditioned and addicted to the pleasures and the pains of this material energy, we have utterly forgotten what is the real nature of our soul and what is real happiness. Therefore it is explained in Gita by Krishna, Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma samstapanaradhaya sambhavami yuge yuge. Krishna descends into this world again and again in every millennium. For what purpose? Ultimately, to teach us where our real happiness is. To annihilate not only the miscreants in the world itself, but through the words that Krishna speaks, he annihilates the miscreants within our own heart that are causing us so much pain. And to protect truth, to protect the devotee, and to establish what is true religion. So Krishna comes and he has spoken Bhagavad Gita to teach us how to once again reunite our consciousness with its original source, the reservoir of all pleasure, or Krishna. Krishna possesses six opulences. Therefore, he is called Bhagavan.
Two names of Krishna.
And then we will give them prasad. You do this, and we guarantee you the crime rate will go way, way down. Because if people's hearts become pure, they become good. This is the simple means of purifying people's hearts. So you arrange this. Give us a hall in every neighborhood. And let us propagate this chanting of holy names and giving prasad. The police commissioner said, Swamiji, this is a very good idea. But I do not think the city council will agree. So Srila Prabhupada said, then what is the use of your city council? If they are
they're not serving the real interests of the people. So this is the method of real education, to teach people how to clean their hearts and be pure. Srila Prabhupada explained that Western culture is very materially advanced. But spiritually blind. And Indian culture has tremendous spiritual vision. But due to being exploited by so many foreign powers over so many centuries, it is materially lame. But if the lame man who has good eyes rides on the back of the blind man who has strong legs, then together they can reach their destination. Similarly, if we combine the science, technology, the prosperity of the West with the spiritual vision and morality of India's culture, we can actually transform this whole world into Vaikuntha. Explain to him the goal of life and how to achieve it. Lord Brahma spoke the Vedas.
जब भगवान श्री कृष्ण ने यह ज्ञान ब्रह्मा जी को दिया तो उसके बाद वेदों का ज्ञान दिया गया.
He taught this Vedic knowledge to his dear son and devotee Shri Narada Muni.
ब्रह्मा जी ने यह ज्ञान जो है अपने पुत्र और शिष्य नारद मुनि को प्रदान किया.
Narada Muni is one of the great devotees who appears again and again within the history of Vedic religion.
वैदिक धर्मों में जो है नारद मुनि हम देखते हैं बार बार वो प्रकट होते हैं.
He plays on a veena.
वो वीणा पर खेलते हैं.
And he's constantly chanting the names and glories of the Lord.
और वो हमेशा भगवान के नाम और गुणों का गान करते हैं.
He wrote the Narada Bhakti Sutras.
उन्होंने नारद भक्ति सूत्र लिखे हैं.
And has such great disciples as Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj.
उनके कई महान शिष्य हैं जैसे कि प्रहलाद महाराज, ध्रुव महाराज.
Another one of his very great disciples is Srila Veda Vyas.
और उनके एक शिष्य हैं श्रील वेद व्यास.
Vyasadeva is the literary incarnation of Lord Krishna himself.
Vyasadeva jo hain Bhagwan Shri Krishna ke sahityik avatar hain.
The Vedic knowledge was passed down through oral reception from the very beginning of creation.
Srishti ke shuruaat se hi Vedic gyan jo hai shravan ke dwara pradan kiya gaya hai.
But at the beginning of the age of Kali, the Lord understood that people's memories become very weak.
लेकिन कलयुग के शुरुआत में भगवान जान गए कि लोगों की जो स्मरण शक्ति है वो बहुत कमजोर है.
If this knowledge is not written down, then people will forget.
अगर ये ज्ञान लिखित रूप में नहीं पेश किया जाए तो लोग भूल जाएंगे.
So Vedavyas appeared within this disciplic succession, Brahma, Narada, to Vyas. And he wrote down what he heard from his spiritual masters.
और व्यासदेव इस परंपरा में प्रकट हुए ब्रह्मा नारद व्यास और उन्होंने इस ज्ञान को लिखित रूप में पेश किया.
Later on, approximately 750 years ago, the great Madhvacharya went to Badrikashram and personally received the same knowledge from Srila Veda Vyas.
और बाद में 750 वर्ष पूर्व श्रील माधवाचार्य व्यासदेव जी से मिले और उन्होंने ये ज्ञान उनसे ग्रहण किया.
He perfectly repeated this knowledge to his disciples.
और उन्होंने इसी ज्ञान को पूर्ण रूप से अपने
stuffs and wonderful, wonderful garlands and everything, and she began to cook and make everything nice. And when Ramanujacharya and his devotees came from taking their bath, they were wonderfully surprised to see this poor, poor family. The husband was still out begging, and yet there was luxurious, opulent prasad. and wonderful garlands and wonderful everything. And they just, Ramanujacharya and all the devotees just enjoyed this feast to their full satisfaction. And afterward, after they were taking prasad and enjoying so much the great love that she was offering, then Varadacharya came with his little begging bag, some broken grains, whatever else beggars get, and he saw Ramanujacharya and all the devotees eating sumptuous feast in his house. And he asked Lakshmi, how is this possible? When I left, there was not one grain of rice. She put her head down in great shame. And she said, in the emergency of the situation, this is what I have done. I have promised to go to this sinful man tonight if he would help me to serve my Guru Maharaj. Please forgive me. And Varadacharya began to dance in ecstasy when he heard this. And he said, I am so fortunate to have a wife like you, who is a very embodiment of the highest and purest religious principles, who is the very embodiment of the highest principles of chastity. Because Lord Narayan is the only Purusha. He is the only husband, he is the only master, and to satisfy him is the only goal of life. And the only way we can satisfy him is by satisfying his representative, our Guru Maharaj. So you have done very good. So then after Ramanuja took, he gave the prasad, his remnants, to Varadacharya and Lakshmi Devi. And they took very nicely. And then they explained to him how they got such nice prasad, what Lakshmi did. And Ramanujacharya very patiently and attentively heard the whole story.
To be humble is a prerequisite to bhakti. And but in our life we come across various segments of people. So how do you blend humility by word, action and deed, in the sense that you in a state of being with devotees, it's one thing, but you may be with unknown devotees, non-devotees, so how do you, you know, be the same in every situation, to be humble or to show humility?
Your consciousness should remain the same, but how you speak and how you act is according to how you could best serve. Real humility doesn't mean simply bowing down to everyone. Of course, that is very nice. The six Goswamis, they did like that. But real humility is a state of your consciousness, that you are not the doer of your activities, that nothing belongs to you. Your body, your mind, your intelligence, it is all the property of Krishna. It is all coming by the grace of Krishna. It will all be taken away in due course of time by the grace of Krishna. So to utilize whatever Krishna has in Krishna's service according to Krishna's desire, that is actual humility. In the case of Arjuna, he was not bowing his head down before Duryodhana. He was shooting arrows at him. And we find in the Mahabharata, when great warriors would meet on the battlefield, sometimes they would insult each other terribly. You are a pig, I will send you to the abode of Yamaraj. Because that's the way you have to talk when you're fighting. Yes? So you're asking, how is this humility? He's insulting and killing. But it was humility. Why? Because he was simply executing the order of Krishna. Knowing that Krishna is the source of all my strength, Krishna is the source of all my intelligence,
And I have no right to utilize these things according to my own whims, but I must utilize all of these gifts according to Krishna's desire. For Arjuna to leave the battlefield and sit on the bank of a river to meditate would have been false pride. For him to fight and to kill was humility.
He was overwhelmed. He just began to cry. He came out, Narottam, what are you doing? You are a prince. You were brought up in great, great aristocracy. You are meant to be the king. What you are doing, cleaning the urine and stool of a fallen soul like me with your hands? Why? Why are you doing like this? Narottam Das replied with great sincerity that I have left behind the so-called wealth of this world, but with my hands I am collecting the greatest, greatest treasure because I have achieved the service of your lotus feet. When Lokanath Goswami saw how Narottam was so humble, he had such a deep desire to serve without any adoration or distinction, his heart melted. In fact, soon after this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally appeared to Lokanath Goswami in a vision and told him, you must initiate Narottam. On an auspicious day, Srila Lokanath Goswami initiated Srila Narottam Das Thakur. He kept him with him at Sri Radha Vinod Temple. And there was a wonderful festival in Vrindavan on the day of that initiation. All the Gaudiya Vaishnavas were so happy. Narottam Das Thakur humbly served his guru in every possible way. And one day, Lokanath Goswami called for Jiva Goswami and told him, please, I am placing Narottam Das under your care. Please teach him very, very perfectly all the books of the Goswamis. And then he called Srinivas Acharya and said, I am placing my disciple, my only disciple, under your care. Please protect him. And he will be your servant to assist you. Teach him the proper conduct of pure Vaishnavism. Then Narottam Das Thakur began living at Sri Radha Damodar Temple along with Jiva Goswami and Srinivas Acharya. After some time, a great disciple of Hridaya Chaitanya from Ambika Kalna named Duki Krishna Das came on the order of his guru to study under Jiva Goswami. Later his name was changed to Srila Shamananda. The three of them became such intimate friends studying with Jiva Goswami. Srila Jiva Goswami arranged for Narottam Das Thakur and Srinivas Acharya to take the entire Braj Mandala Parikrama. There was one very great devotee named Raghava Pandit who lived at Govardhan Hill. And he took them to all the holy places throughout Braj. When Raghunath Das Goswami at Sri Radha Kund met with Narottam Das Thakur, he was filled with happiness. We have been waiting years for you to come. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told us you would come. Narottam Das received the blessings of all the great Vaishyams. And he would very humbly fall at their feet and surrender to each one of them, eager to serve them. And due to his profound humility and desire to serve, and his tremendous expertise in mastering all the scriptures, he became dearmost to the heart of all the devotees. Some years went by. Narottam Das lived in Sri Braj Bhumi. When Jiva Goswami, under the instruction of Janava Devi, decided to send the literatures written by Goswamis to Bengal to be copied and distributed. On a very auspicious day, first of all, Jiva Goswami had Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, and Shamananda Pandit going to all the great souls, begging for their blessings, knowing that no serious undertaking should ever be embarked upon without receiving the heartfelt blessings of senior Vaishnavas. And an auspicious day, ox carts were loaded with boxes with the books of Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, and so many others. Then Jiva Goswami followed this procession to Mathura, and all the devotees of Vrindavan were weeping in the thought of separation from these great souls who became their life and soul. They traveled for many weeks, and you all know the famous story when they came to Vanavishnupuram. The king, Birambir, heard from an astrologer that there are some sadhus, and there was many guards also that Jiva Goswami sent to protect the books. These sadhus with his guards, they have in these boxes on their ox cart the greatest treasure. So Birambir Maharaj was known as a leader of many dacoits. So he sent his dacoits, "You get those treasures." Now the guards were so alert 24 hours a day to protect those books. And Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, and Srila Shamananda, how much they were ever attentive to worship those books day and night. That night, mysteriously, everyone fell in deep sleep. And the thieves just took all the books. Nobody even knew. Morning came and they woke up. "The books! Where are the books? The books are gone! They are the only copies of the books of Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami. They have disappeared from the world. There's nothing left if we don't find these books." They were in great disturbance. They were weeping and crying. They were looking frantically in all directions. Hours and hours and hours went by. They could not find the books anywhere. This was a condition millions of times worse than death for these three great personalities. After they searched everywhere they could possibly search, they just laid on the ground weeping and crying, brokenhearted. "What will Jiva Goswami, our life and soul, think of us now? What we have done, the whole human society, the teachings of Mahaprabhu in their most pristine form are gone." After hours of suffering, a voice came from the sky and spoke to Srinivas Acharya that very soon the books will be returned. It is the king, Birambir, in the kingdom of Vanavishnupuram, where those books are. He has taken. You send Narottam Das to Khetri, and you send Shamananda to Orissa, because that is the mission of Lord Chaitanya. And you go to the kingdom, and you wait there, and you will get the books. With great, great pain and heart, somehow Srinivas bid farewell to Narottam Das and Shamananda. And then he went to Vanavishnupuram, and ultimately, he had a debate with all the king's pundits and defeated them, and ultimately the king surrendered his life and has accepted initiation from Srinivas, and as Guru Dakshin he gave him all his books back. When the king of Virumvir became a devotee, he instructed every single citizen in the entire kingdom to accept Diksha from Srinivasacharya. And soon, it was the first Vaishnav kingdom. Everyone was his disciples. And he was training them very, very, very wonderfully according to the Six Goswami's teachings and inducing them all in Harinam Sankirtan. Rana Vishnupuram, all you could hear in all the four directions was the loud chanting of the holy name. Narottam Das Thakur and Shyamananda both went to Keturi Gram. The cousin of Narottam Das Thakur, his name was Santosh Dutt. He was the son of Purushottam Dutt, who was the brother of the king, Krishnananda Dutt. Since there was no son of the king anywhere around, they made Santosh Dutt the king. When Narottam Das came, they had such a loving relationship. Narottam Das Thakur began to preach to Santosh Dutt about the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And he was immediately accepting. And he decided to make his whole kingdom followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He wanted to do everything and anything by Narottam Das Thakur's preaching. Santosh Dutt accepted that my body, all my wealth, my kingdom, everything belongs to Mahaprabhu. You are my guru, tell me how to serve. This way Narottam Das Thakur began holding classes in kirtans in Keturi Gram. And the whole town became his disciples. Then he told Shyamananda Prabhu, it is the Lord's will that you go to Utkala, Orissa, to preach. So Shyamananda goes home. He left. First he went to see his Guru Maharaj in Ambika Kauna, then he went to Orissa. Meanwhile, Narottam Das Thakur was preaching and preaching and preaching and training his devotees in such a wonderful way according to the Vaishnava system. But he had a great burning desire to visit Sri Navadvipa Dham, to see the place of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and to somehow or other try to seek out whatever associates of Lord Chaitanya had survived his disappearance, were still living. Narottam Das Thakur, by foot, he traveled to Sri Navadvipa Dham. When he came just in the outskirts of Navadvipa Dham, by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had the most wonderful vision. He looked at Navadvipa, he saw such joy, such unlimited happiness, that in every house, everyone was dancing in ecstasy and chanting the holy names. And someone told him, please go to the house of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There you will find him dancing and chanting with his devotees. In this vision, Narottam Das Thakur saw the house of Sachinanda and Gaurhari. And there amongst thousands of people, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Gadadhar, Adwaita, Murari Gupta, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Suklambar Brahmachari, everyone, they were dancing and chanting. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was ecstatically inducing all of them in Krishna prema. Narottam Das Thakur was so happy to see this kirtan. He had never seen anything like the beauty of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then, all of a sudden, the entire vision vanished. Narottam Das Thakur was looking at the same Navadvipa, but now all he saw was depression and misery. All he heard was weeping and crying of people in separation from Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. He started walking, and there he met Acharya was beside himself in the grief of separation. He looked lifeless. He saw Narottam. He became very attractive. He asked, "Who are you?" He said, "My name is Narottam Das. I am coming from Vrindavan. I am living in Ketri Gram." When Shukumbhar Brahmachari heard this, he became filled with happiness. He embraced Narottam. Narottam fell at his feet. He said, "I have simply been living in anticipation of meeting you." Practically all of the associates of Lord Chaitanya, unable to bear his separation, they have gone back to his eternal abode. "But somehow by my misfortune I am still here. I am here only with the hope that you would come. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told us you would come, and now you have come." Suklambar Brahmachari then took Narottam Das Thakur to all of the surviving associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They all embraced him, and he fell and worshipped their feet with great humility. And after seeing all the nine islands of Navadvip and meeting all of the Vaishnavas, they told him, "You should go to Jagannath Puri. You must go to Jagannath Puri. It is the Lord's desire." Narottam Das Thakur began to travel to Puri. First he came to Shantipur. There, since Advaitacharya had already left with his wife Sita, he met with Achyutananda and the other children of Advaita. And they were all waiting for him. In fact, Advaitacharya appeared to all of them and said, "Narottam will come soon." They were so happy. He spent days together in Shantipur just discussing the wonderful pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with Achyutananda and having kirtan. Then Achyutananda said, "You must go to Orissa." He stopped at Ambika Kalna and he met Hridai Chaitanya. And together, Hridai Chaitanya placed him on his lap and covered him with his tears. "I am so happy to meet you. I have heard so much about you. I heard everything about you. But now you must go to Orissa." From Ambika Kalna, he went to Karadaha, which was the central preaching base of Nityananda Prabhu. When he got there, he met Mahesh Pandit, one of the intimate associates of Lord Nityananda. Mahesh Pandit brought him to meet Janaka Devi and Vasudha Mataji. The two eternal consorts, Revati and Varuni, in Krishna's Leela. And when they saw her, they became filled with bliss. Narottam Das fell and worshipped the feet of Janava Devi and Vasudha Mataji. And when Janava Devi saw him, she said, "Jiva Goswami has done very good by giving him the title Narottam Das Thakur Mahasharya. He is certainly the reservoir of all love for Krishna." She blessed him. "You will make the whole world Krishna conscious. Your kirtan will charm the hearts of everyone. Now you must go to Jagannath Puri." Taking the blessings of Janava Devi, he continued on the path. As he was traveling to Puri, hundreds, sometimes thousands of people, they were so attracted to his beauty and his devotion, they would just follow him. They would not want to give up his association. But with great humility, he would somehow or other convince everyone, you go home and always worship Lord Chaitanya. Wherever he went, he was preaching the message of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Just in the outskirts of Jagannath Puri, he met an old Brahmin. The Brahmin was chanting the holy names of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Narottam fell at his feet and worshipped him. The Brahmin said, "Who are you?" "My name is Narottam Das." The Brahmin said, "I have simply been waiting for you The whole city of Puri is simply waiting for you. The Brahmin told him the condition of separation of all the Vaishnavas. And then he sent his son to take him into Puri. The first place Narottam Das Thakur went was Narendra Sarovar. He took his bath in that lake and remembered the wonderful, playful pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates. Meanwhile, Gopinath Acharya, Sikhi Mahiti, and Kanai Kuntia, three very close associates of Lord Chaitanya, they were walking to the Singhadwaram gate to have the darshan of Jagannath. At that time, even though they were suffering of separation, all of a sudden they became joyful. Sikhi Mahiti said, "I don't know why, but I'm feeling joy." Gopinath Acharya said, "Because Narottam will come today. That great personality Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told would come." At the Singhadwaram, Narottam met with Gopinath Acharya, Sikhi Mahiti, and Kanai. And they brought him in to see the beautiful darshan of Lord Jagannath. Can you imagine the first time Narottam Das Thakur saw the beautiful form of the lotus eye Balaram, Subhadra, and Jagannath? He saw the Garuda Stamba where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would have his darshans. He was so enwrapped in ecstatic love. The pujaris came knowing that this was Narottam, and they brought him Jagannath's own garland prasad, so many other remnants. Then Narottam Das was taken on a pilgrimage of the holy places of Puri. They took him to the temple of Tota Gopinath, that beautiful, shiny, blackish murti of Gadadhar Pandit, in which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed his lila of disappearing from this world. Then he showed him the sitting place of Gadadhar Pandit. Narottam, in ecstatic love, was weeping and crying, falling unconscious even, thinking of Gadadhar. Then they took him to the seashore and showed him the Samadhi Mandir of Srila Haridas Thakur, which was personally dug and erected by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. No one can describe feelings of bliss that Narottam Das Thakur experienced as he worshipped Thakur Haridas. In the evening, they went back to the house of Gopinath Acharya. Gopinath Acharya said to the other devotees, "You should all go home. Narottam will stay with me tonight." And he told Narottam Das Thakur, "Please, it is time for you to go to sleep." He gave him a solitary room in his house. Narottam Das Thakur could not sleep. He was so agitated by love for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates. But somehow or other, in the middle of the night, he fell asleep. And one of the most wonderful pastimes took place. He had a dream. In that dream, he saw Jagannath Puri in its full glory. The Ratha Yatra was taking place. There was the carts of Balaram, Subhadra, and Jagannath Swami. In front of Jagannath's carts, he saw thousands of people chanting and dancing. In the middle of that kirtan, he saw the beautiful golden form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with his arms raised in ecstatic love, weeping, tears inducing everyone to loudly chant the holy name. In this kirtan, Narottam Das Thakur saw all the devotees of Bengal, of Vrindavan, of Orissa, and of South India. All the devotees that were intimate associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were all there dancing in ecstasy, chanting with the Lord. He saw Swarup Damodar, he saw all the six Goswamis, Rup Sanatan, Raghunath Das, Raghunath Bhatta, Gopal Bhatta, Jiva Goswami was there chanting and dancing. He saw Venkata Bhatta, Prabodhananda Saraswati, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he saw Murari Gupta, Suplambar Brahmachari, he saw Vishnu Priya and Sachi Mata, everyone! They were all chanting and dancing. There was Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. There was Ramananda Rai. They were all in ecstasy, dancing and dancing. Everyone's attention was focused completely on Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as he was dancing with Nityananda Prabhu. Narottam Das was just in his dream. He was just standing in a corner watching this wonderful kirtan as Mahaprabhu was dancing and dancing and dancing in ecstatic love before Lord Jagannath. Then in the middle of the kirtan, Lord Chaitanya came to where Narottam was standing, and he took him by the hand and began to speak very sweetly. He said, "You are my intimate associate, my eternal servant. I will empower you to inaugurate a new type of kirtan tradition. And this kirtan style will be so charming, it will unite all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, and it will attract the hearts of all living beings. I will empower you with my own love to compose
Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmanya Hitaya Cha." The Lord's greatest lila of pleasure is to serve his devotees, to give pleasure to his devotees, bhakta vatsal. After this, Vishwamitra, being very pleased with them, would instruct them each day as they were in the forest. Ram and Lakshman, in order to show the world how, whoever you are, however learned or great you may be, by worldly estimation, the virtue of life is to approach a spiritual master, inquire submissively, and render service. Wherever they would go in their travels with Vishwamitra, they were always inquiring, what is the body, what is the soul, what is the absolute truth? When they approached the Ganga, they asked, can you tell us the story of the history of Mother Ganga? And Vishwamitra Muni explained in great, great detail all of these stories. And at the same time, Ram and Lakshman, they would collect wood for their guru. They would massage his legs, massage his lotus feet. They would do any menial service just to show the world the necessity of following this great scriptural injunction, of approaching a spiritual master, inquiring submissively, and rendering service. In fact, Ram would not do anything of any significance without the blessings of the great sage Vishwamitra. One day, Vishwamitra Muni told Ram and Lakshman that we will go on a pilgrimage to the very holy city of Mithila. The kingdom of Maharaj Janak. When they arrived there, Maharaj Janak, knowing that Vishwamitra Muni had come, came with his ministers and secretaries and the rishis and welcomed him with great affection. And when Janak Maharaj saw the beauty of Ram, he was simply astonished and he inquired, "Who is this?" "This is Ram, the son of Dasarath and his brother Lakshman." Vishwamitra Muni asked Janak to explain the story of this great bow ceremony that they were having on a regular basis. And Janak said that one time the demigods were fighting against the demons, and Lord Shiva, He gave his own very, very powerful, invincible bow to fight against the asuras. And that bow was many
blessings to step forward and try. Vishwamitra Muni said, yes, string the bow. And as Ramchandra came forward, all the citizens of Mithila were simply charmed to see his beauty and his qualities. And they were all praying from the core of their hearts, because their lives were simply for the pleasure of Sita. That please, let this Ram be the husband of Sita. And Sita Devi, upon seeing the limbs of Ram, which appeared very youthful and very soft, very gentle, and then looking at this bow, which was so hard and so cold, there was great anticipation in her heart. There was complete silence in the assembly. Even Janak himself was simply immersed in prayer that Ram could lift the bow. Otherwise, if he cannot do it, Sita will be a widow for the rest of her life. So as Ramchandra walked forward, everyone was immersed in this beautiful pastime. And Sri Ramchandraji, the son of Dasarath, effortlessly lifted the bow. And then when he pulled the string, the bow bent further and further and further and further, and he pulled it more and more and more until it cracked. And when it cracked, the sound of the cracking of that bow was so thunderous that practically everyone in the assembly, except Ram, Sita, Vishwamitra, Lakshman, and Janak, fell unconscious. Even the demigods, upon hearing the thunderous crack of this bow, and the heavenly planets were falling unconscious. And the entire earth was shaking. And when everyone came to their senses again, they saw this beautiful young form of Sri Ram standing with the bow broken to pieces. And for those of you who may have had the fortune of going to this holy place of Mithila, that actual site where Sri Ramchandra broke the bow is there. The old Brahmin asked, who are you? Where are you from? My name is Narottam Das. I am the disciple of Srila Lokanath Goswami of Vrindavan. I am just on my way back to my home in Keturi Gram. The old Brahmin said, oh yes, yes, we have been expecting you. Narottam Das begged, please, I have come to see the holy place of Prabhu Nityananda. The old Brahmin said, I know all the places. I will show you all of them. Took him around Ekachakra. He said, this is where Nityananda Ram would perform his childhood pastimes and enact the various leelas of Krishna and his incarnations. He showed him each place the leelas took place. He took him, this is the house where Hadai Pandit lived and he died. He took his lessons there and became a great scholar. This is the Garbhavas where Nityananda Prabhu took birth in this world. And this is where the Anaprasna, where he took his first grains. This is the place that mysterious sannyasi came and asked charity for Nityananda from Hadai Pandit in the form of his son. This is the place where Nityananda Prabhu left Ekachakra with the sannyasi. And this is the place his mother, Padmavati, wept tears of agony as he was leaving. And this is the place where Hadai Pandit fell unconscious. And this is the road the sannyasi brought him down. And this is the place all the residents of Ekka Chakra went running, looking for the sannyasi to beg him, please take my son instead. Take all my wealth, all my children, but leave Nityananda Prabhu here. We cannot live without him. This is where they all returned with broken hearts. After explaining all these things, the old Brahmin disappeared. Narottam Das Thakur had such love for this old Brahmin. He didn't know why he loved him so much. He felt such separation from him. He was weeping. And then the Brahmin appeared again. And Narottam Das Thakur was so happy. He fell at the feet of the Brahmin. The Brahmin embraced him. And then right in front of Narottam Das's eyes, the Brahmin transformed into the beautiful form of Rohini Nandana, Sri Balaramji. His beautiful white complexion, with blue garments, holding a plow over his shoulder, he glanced so lovingly upon Narottam. And then that form of Balaram transformed into the beautiful golden form of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. And he embraced Narottam Das. Narottam Das worshipped the feet of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda Prabhu said,
and which of the Vedic literatures are meant to awaken pure bhakti? And they emphasized those. Same Bhagavad Gita, same Srimad Bhagavatam, same Vishnu Purana, same Mahabharata, same Ramayana. Any other questions? Yes.
Brahmaji designed the creation, and he's a Jivatma, so how did he design the 8.4 million species? Are these species are in the eternal form in the spiritual world, or are they different species in the spiritual world? I mean, Brahma's designed.
Brahma is a Jivatma, but he is Satyavesh. That means he is empowered by Krishna. Krishna can empower his Jivatma to do the same thing he does. That is his power. Whatever power Brahma has to create is the power that has been given to him by Krishna. So actually Krishna is creating through Brahma. That is the actual reality. And as far as the species of life in the spiritual world and the material world, this material world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, actually everything is unlimited. There is no numerical evaluation how many species of life there are in the spiritual world. In the material world, everything is limited. In the spiritual world, whatever Krishna wants you to be, that is what you are. So I have not ever seen where it lists how many species of life there are in the spiritual world. Usually we don't call anyone species anywhere in the spiritual world, because everything is Satchidananda Vigraha. Your body is Satchidananda Vigraha. That's not a species, that's something else altogether. So there's no species of life as we know it in the spiritual world. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much.
Ma vadata shatapatra lochana. Ishanga vastra surucha sateshasa. Ishanga vastra surucha sateshasa. sarve chaturbhava.
That quality spiritual training that Srila Prabhupada is so nicely describing in this purport. Is there any questions? Yes.
Maharaj, I have two questions. One is regarding Varnashrama. Earlier, when there was one manifest in the Dwapar Yuga and other yugas, the guru would be actually telling each and every person in his gurukul what ashram he should take. He would tell that you seem to be more like a kshatriya, so he would allow him to take kshatriya training. Some would be guided into Brahman training, others into different training, like that. But since the guru system is absent, what I see is that in ISKCON we are allowing devotees to take whatever occupation suits their mentality automatically. It appears that they just, somebody is a doctor, somebody is a lawyer, somebody is a student, somebody is a professional, somebody is whatever. And we are not necessarily training people to do what they should do in what occupations, but we are just primarily training them to be Krishna conscious in that situation and adopt the philosophy of Krishna consciousness very seriously. So it's in one sense a little bit different than what was going on earlier. Is that understanding of my right?
Partially. It is not necessarily that the guru tells you everything you're supposed to do in your occupational life. But that according to your inclination, you may choose, and then you are trained how to do it properly in Krishna consciousness. In Kali Yuga, especially in a city arrangement, the pure conception of Varnashram is very difficult to implement. However, if we see that a person is very much due to social pressures, pursuing something against their nature, then that can be pointed out, obviously, and given direction. It's like we have seen innocent, humble young ladies who, due to social pressures, they're being pushed into studying advanced physiochemistry, whatever that is. They have no inclination. They'll find no happiness in that. They're in tremendous anxiety studying for it. In America, you find
who spent some days writing out the list of who they would invite. Then Srinivasacharya sent out messengers to Orissa, to all the provinces of Bengal, where the Gaudiya Vaishnavas were residing, to invite them to come. They decided that Janava Devi, the consort of Nityananda Prabhu, would be the presiding acharya in this great festival. Then a very historical moment took place. Srinivasacharya said to Narottam Das Thakur, "My dearest of all disciples, Ramchandra Kaviraj, he loves you dearly. And I know how dearly you will love him. I am entrusting him in your care. Together you will do wonderful, wonderful service." Narottam Das Thakur, that time, accepted Ramchandra Kaviraj as his dearmost friend. Together they went back to Ketari Gram and began to prepare for the festival. Santosh Dutt, the king, took all of his treasury and just made it all at the disposal of Ramchandra and Narottam and his disciples to make wonderful facilities for the Vaishnavas. Santosh Datta wrote, he constructed beautiful kirtan halls, beautiful, beautiful residences for all the Mahatmas,
devotees, big, big surplus supplies of bhoga. As far as he was concerned, this was the only purpose of my kingdom, to host this wonderful festival, the first Gaur Purnima festival ever to be celebrated. Soon the devotees started coming from all directions. Devotees were coming, especially Janava Devi from Kardaha. She took leave of her son Birchandra and Vasudha, and she began with so many devotees. Living in Kardaha with her were so many of the great associates of Nityananda. They began to travel. And as they were about to leave Kardaha, an auspicious voice came from the sky to tell everyone, please, you will find the greatest happiness at this Gaur Purnima festival of Kethari, because Lord Chaitanya and all of his associates will appear to dance with you. The devotees were very happy. She went to the village of each of the Vaishnavas who were on the way, and Janava would convince all of them to come. When she went to Shantipur, Achyutananda was on the verge of death in separation from Advaita and Gauranga. She said, come to the festival. She went to Srikanda, where Raghunandan was in the grief of separation from Narahari Sarakar. She said, come, come. Vrindavan Das Thakur, the author of Chaitanya Bhagavat, she said, come. In this way, who can count the great personalities that were accompanying Janava Devi? When they arrived at the Padma River, Ramchandra Kaviraj, Srinivasacharya, and Narottam Das Thakur, in such a mood of humble service, they just wanted to serve the Vaishnavas. Shamananda Goswami arrived and introduced all of his disciples that he brought, led by Rasikananda. Rasikananda, he was so humble that in the presence of Narottam Das Thakur, he could not even speak. He was completely silent. He just fell at his feet and worshipped him. So Rasikananda Prabhu and Shamananda Prabhu and Narottam Das Thakur and Srinivasacharya and Ramchandra Kaviraj and Govinda Kaviraj, they all took the responsibility of being the humble servants of all the Vaishnavas who were coming in the tour of Ishwari Janava Devi. They arranged beautiful boats for them to cross the Padma River. And they brought him, they worshipped Janava Devi with all the articles of puja. They gave him all residential quarters. And Srinivasacharya and Narottam Das Thakur, their most intimate disciples, they assigned each one of them a different place where they would personally serve all the needs of particular devotees. They were assigned to different devotees to serve. So nice. And then the day of Gaur Purnima approached. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in that vision to Narottam to find the deities, he also told Narottam to carve 5 more deities and told him what their names would be, deities of Krishna. So in the morning of Gaur Purnima, Srinivasacharya was to perform the installation of these 6 sets of deities, the 5 plus the deity of Gauranga and Vishnupriya that was found in the godown of snakes. Srinivasacharya began to perform the Abhishek after taking the blessings of Ishwari and all the great senior Vaishnavas. Beautiful, beautiful Abhishek ceremony. Then Srinivasacharya offered bhoga. Then he offered arti. After the arti, Srinivasacharya requested Narottam Das Thakur to begin his kirtan. Narottam Das Thakur first went to all the senior Vaishnavas and worshipped their feet and begged their blessings and permission for him to begin kirtan. He started his kirtan only playing 1 small set of karatas. He sang very sweet
very quiet, very slow. His kirtan is charming everyone's eyes. Meanwhile, his other associates, they were fully trained in kirtan by Narottam Das. They were standing nearby with other kartals of various sizes and mridangas. Narottam for some time sang many sweet songs in glorification of Gauranga in Radha and Krishna. And then he indicated for the mridangas. In the pure heart we want to serve. So I am considering this a very great fortune that you are all giving me the opportunity to serve you by speaking the words of Lord Krishna. I was asked to speak on the topic of Dasera, where Lord Sri Ram defeats Ravana. And also I was told to speak on the value of morality within education of our children. To harmonize these two subject matters is a very interesting subject. Especially since it was only a few minutes ago since I received the message of what I was to speak on. In this verse of Gita we are reading, Krishna explains that what is contained in his teachings to Arjuna is the king of education. Because it gives direct perception of truth. In Valmiki's Ramayana, we read of a very, very highly educated Brahmin. He knew the scriptures with great erudition. He was also a very powerful, physical, fit person. And he was one of the greatest scientists. He understood how to, on the subtle platform, manipulate the material elements to gain tremendous powers. This personality was one of the greatest scholars, one of the greatest scientists, and one of the greatest athletes. His name was Ravana. But unfortunately, he did not understand the proper purpose of all of this great opulences that he had achieved. He was also the greatest politician. He thoroughly understood the art of politics, diplomacy, organizing armies, sending spies into the enemy camp. Never touched Sita. It was a Maya Sita. This is described in the Kurma Purana. And for those of you who have been to Tirupati, this is the basis of the whole legend of Balaji in Tirupati. That there was a false Sita. This, the real Sita, she can never be touched by anyone but Ram. But there is a Maya Sita, the goddess of material energy. If you try to take
sita for your own sense gratification, you get maya. So ultimately Ravana, although he created so much fear and terror in the world, he was destroyed by Lord Ram. So how to tie this story to the values of education? Simple question. Do you want your children to be Ravanas or Rams? That's the question. And what are our schools producing today? Somebody who has all sorts of technical, scientific, academic knowledge but still has greed in their heart is following the path of Ravana. The problems of the world that are causing so much distress are not being caused by the simple farmers. They are being caused by the most intelligent, powerful leaders of society. There is great fear of these atomic bombs. Right now, there is one pointed right here. And we're pointing them there. And who wins a war of atomic bombs? Maya. Maya wins. And everyone else loses. Who has created them? It's not the simple farmers. It's not the housewives. It's the big, big PhD scientists who went through years and years of colleges and universities. And who's polluting the world with all sorts of artificial technology? Destroying the ecology of the planet. The eternal glory of your own soul. And reconnect you with the Supreme Soul, Lord Krishna. Please become happy through this chanting of Hare Krishna. It brings about the ultimate realization of the perfection of all knowledge. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. At this time we would like to invite everyone to join us in the chanting. As I am chanting, gave up all of her personal efforts to save herself.
Kuru karma eva tasmat vam purvae purvataram kritam.
All the liberated souls in ancient times acted with this understanding of my transcendental nature. Therefore you should perform your duty following in their footsteps.
Jo purvaj samay ke bhi jo sant hue hain unhone mere bare mein ye samajhte apne karya kiye hain. इसलिए आप भी उनके पदचिन्हों में चलकर अपने कर्तव्य को करिए.
This verse is from the fourth chapter of Shri Bhagavad Gita.
यह श्लोक भगवद गीता के चौथे अध्याय से है.
The path of perfection is to follow in the footsteps of the great souls who have perfected their lives in self-realization in the past.
पूर्णता का मार्ग यह है कि उन व्यक्तियों के पदचिन्हों में चलना जिन्होंने यह सिद्धि हासिल की है.
The Vedic scriptures describe the lives
of many great personalities.
वैदिक शास्त्रों में कई महान व्यक्तियों के चरित्र का वर्णन किया गया है.
Who by surrendering to Krishna with pure devotion achieved the perfection of existence.
जिन्होंने कृष्ण की शरणागति शुद्ध भक्ति में स्वीकार करके जीवन की सफलता हासिल की है.
महाजनो येन गता सपन्ता. To follow in the footsteps of the great souls is the path that leads to truth.
महात्माओं के पदचिन्हों में चलना यह सत्य का मार्ग है.
This Krishna consciousness movement is not a new religious conception.
ये कृष्ण भावनामृत जो आंदोलन है ये कोई नया धार्मिक विचार नहीं है.
It is based on the essence of the ancient Vedic scriptures.
ये जो वैदिक शास्त्र जो पूर्वज हैं उस पर आधारित है.
It has a tradition of great acharyas going all the way back to Lord Brahma at the very beginning of creation.
इसमें इस परंपरा में अनेक आचार्य हैं और इसमें सबसे पहले ब्रह्मा जी हैं सृष्टि के शुरुआत के समय.
Krishna explains in Gita, be pulled by their devotees from the beginning to the end, chanting and dancing the holy names.
श्रील प्रभुपाद जी की कृपा से वो फिफ्थ एवेन्यू बंद होती है उस दिन जगन्नाथ बलदेव सुभद्रा को खींचते हुए कीर्तन करते हुए.
Recently, just in August of this year, we were in London.
और इस वर्ष के अगस्त महीने में हम लंदन में थे.
London is a very powerful city.
लंदन एक बहुत ही शक्तिशाली शहर है.
It used to rule practically the entire planet.
वो पूरे लोक का राजा था.
There is a saying that when the British Empire was at its greatest strength, that the sun would never set in the British Empire.
ऐसा एक कहावत है कि ऐसा भी समय था कि जब ब्रिटिश राज्य में सूर्यास्त नहीं होता था.
Do you know why it is said that the sun never sets in the British Empire?
क्या आप जानते हैं कि ऐसा क्यों कहा जाता है कि ब्रिटिश राज्य में सूर्यास्त नहीं होता?
There are two reasons.
उसके दो कारण हैं.
I will explain both to you tonight.
मैं आज आपको दोनों समझाऊंगा.
One is, in those days, just even 60-70 years ago, what to speak of a couple hundred years ago, the British owned America, Canada, Hong Kong, much of China, most of Africa, the all of Australia, India, and any time of the day, the sun was always shining on the British Empire.
क्योंकि उस समय ब्रिटिश का जो राज्य है वो इतना फैला हुआ था जिसमें अफ्रीका, ऑस्ट्रेलिया, हांगकांग, भारत और कनाडा ये सब आता था, तो कहीं ना कहीं पर जो है इस राज्य में सूर्य रहता ही.
But now all they have is one little island.
अभी उनके पास एक द्वीप रह गया है छोटा सा.
Most of the year it's so foggy you cannot even see the sun.
और अधिक समय तो इतना कोहरा रहता है कि सूर्य को हम देख ही नहीं पाते.
So in this material world, however great you are, you lose everything in due course of time.
इस दुनिया में आप चाहे कितने महान हो, समय के उपरांत आप सब कुछ खो बैठते हैं.
But this is the external reason why it is said that the sun never sets in the British Empire.
परंतु ये तो सिर्फ एक बाहरी कारण है जिससे कहा जाता है कि सूर्य कभी अस्त नहीं होता.
The more internal material reason.
लेकिन अंतरंग भौतिक कारण है.
Is explained.
वो समझाया जाता है.
Would you like to hear?
क्या आप सुनना चाहेंगे?
Because God didn't trust the British in the dark.
क्योंकि भगवान ने जो है ब्रिटिश को अंधेरे में विश्वास नहीं किया.
Very well. So in London, every year, going down the main streets, devotees are dancing and chanting with saris and dhotis. Jagannath, Balaram and Subhadra are on their carts. It's unbelievable. The city celebrates Rath Yatra.
लंदन में हम देखते हैं भक्त धोती और साड़ी पहने हुए और ये अविश्वसनीय है कि भक्त कितने उत्साह से रथ यात्रा मना रहे हैं.
At one time, the British conquered India.
एक समय था जब ब्रिटिश ने भारत पर विजय प्राप्त की थी.
And made this propaganda that anything from Britain is first class.
और ये बात फैला दी थी कि जो भी चीज ब्रिटेन से आता है वो प्रथम श्रेणी का है.
Anything from India is third class.
और भारत से जो भी है वो तृतीय श्रेणी का है.
But now this, you have become a Vaishnava? What is this nonsense? Vaishnavas have no philosophy. Vaishnavas have no culture. They have no authority. You have spoiled your life, and you are threatening to spoil my life.
I will bring the great pundits here, the pundits of my kingdom, and they will speak to you, and they will show you what is real truth. When Hari Rama heard this, he became as angry as his father. We are disciples of Narottam Das Thakur and Ramchandra Kaviraj. How dare you speak like this about them? You bring your pundits, and I will destroy every one of them with my arguments, because I am speaking on behalf of my Guru Maharaj. Shivayacharya heard this, he became doubly angry. He said, "Get the pundits!" The pundits came. They began battling, and little Hari Rama, just the boy, completely annihilated every one of their arguments. They were speechless. They were ashamed. They were older, scholarly, famous men. They turned to Shivayacharya and said, "This Vaishnava is very powerful. Nothing we can do except go away. That's all we can do." Shivayacharya became even more angry, and he went and got Murari. Murari was a Digvijay pundit. He had already conquered all directions. He was undefeatable, and he was a Shakta, a great devotee of Bhavani. And Balaramacharya easily tore all of his arguments to pieces and defeated him. By this time, Shivayacharya, the father, was in so much distress. His heart was broken. He couldn't even be angry anymore. He was simply depressed. And he was just laying down on the verge of death when finally he came to his senses and surrendered to Srila Narottam Das Thakur. Srila Narottam Das Thakur ki! Meanwhile, there was a place called Gambila, which was close by on the bank of the river Ganges. Gambila was known because so many great scholars were living there. They were all high caste Brahmins. But the leader amongst all of them, his name was Ganga Narayan Bhattacharya. And he sat there on the bank of the Ganges and he was watching. He was watching what was happening. It just so happens that Hari Rama and Ramakrishna came to Gambila to do some chores. And he was just looking at them, because he knew them previously. How is it they are so effulgent? They were never like this before. And how they defeated Murari, and they defeated the greatest pundits. And look at them. They're so filled with love and compassion. They're so peaceful. Just by seeing these two boys, his whole heart was melted. And then he began to think, this is the power of Narottam Das Thakur. If he has done this to these young boys, he has the supreme power of God behind him. And look at me. I'm so famous and so much honored and worshipped as a great scholar.
Child to play with his devotees, just to increase their love and to attract our hearts. So they would play, and they would play and have so much spiritual enjoyment. Spiritual enjoyment is eternal. So any game that Krishna and his cowherd boys would play would naturally go on eternally. Why would they ever want to stop? It was ever-increasing bliss. It's not the game that gave them so much fun. It was the loving exchange of their hearts that was simply being expressed through the game that was giving them such ever-increasing feelings of love. So what Krishna would do is he knew there were so many asuras or demons, because in this time, before the Kali Yuga even began, demons were not like they are these days. We're like little mosquito demons these days. They were big. They were mystic yogis. They actually had powers. Now our power is we have a lot of money, or we have a lot of intelligence, or we might be a little strong. But these people were great mystics. Anima, lagima, they can make themselves any size. They can change their form. They could control people's minds. They actually knew the art and the science of manipulating material nature on a subtle platform. If somebody can do it today, they're considered God. If they can just do a little trick, what to speak of these demons? So what Krishna did is he came to the planet to remove them. But he's within everyone's heart. Ishvara sarvabhutanam hriday sharjunatishtati brahmayan sarvabhutanayantra runani maya. Krishna says, I am directing everyone wanderings from within their hearts. Actually, where does atheists get the knowledge to defy God? From God. You cannot forget God without the help of God. You cannot argue and say, who's giving them their arguments? There is no God. It's Krishna. According to a person's desire, Krishna empowers you. He lets you go. He gives you we say in America, he gives you enough rope to hang yourself. They'll let you go on and do your activities, and then the reactions will come. You cannot avoid it. Hare Krishna. So Krishna, just so there would be some special variety in his pastimes with his friends, as I was saying, when they would play games, it was so enjoyable, it would go on eternally. But he was playing as the son of Yashoda and Nanda, and he had certain duties to perform. So he would arrange for a demon to come every day just before lunch so that it would break the momentum of their game, and then Krishna would do something even more wonderful by killing one of these supernatural mystic demons that were coming to attack him. And then they would get a good appetite. Putana was the elder sister. Do you all
wish to see you on the bank of the holy river Jamuna in the forest with the kadamba trees along with your cows?
हम आपको वृंदावन में यमुना जी के तट पर कदम्ब वृक्ष के पास गायों के साथ देखना चाहते हैं।
And here you are beholding with so many weapons in your hands.
और यहां आपके हाथों में अनेक अस्त्र शस्त्र हैं।
But we desire to see you playing on your flute.
हम आपको अपनी मुरली बजाते हुए देखना चाहते हैं।
So it was the desire of gopis to bring Krishna to Vrindavan.
तो गोपियों की ये इच्छा थी कि कृष्ण को वृंदावन ले आएं।
So in their minds they created chariots.
तो उन्होंने अपने मन में ही रथ बनाए।
And in their meditation they pulled Krishna, Balaram and Subhadra to Vrindavan.
और अपने ध्यान में वो कृष्ण, बलराम और सुभद्रा को वृंदावन ले आए।
Some people ask why Balaram and Subhadra also.
कोई व्यक्ति प्रश्न पूछते हैं कि साथ में बलराम और सुभद्रा जी क्यों हैं?
Because in their meditation they were thinking if Krishna went alone, the residents of Dwarka would not allow.
क्योंकि वो अपने ध्यान में सोच रहे थे कि अगर कृष्ण अकेले आए तो द्वारकावासी नहीं आने देंगे उन्हें।
But if he brought his brother and sister with him, then they would allow.
लेकिन अगर उनके भाई और बहन उनके साथ आएंगे तो उनको आने दिया जाएगा।
So Rath Yatra is the bringing of Krishna, Balaram and Subhadra to Vrindavan.
तो रथ यात्रा जो है वो कृष्ण, बलराम और सुभद्रा को वापस वृंदावन ले आने का उत्सव है।
Vrindavan is the eternal home within everyone's heart.
वृंदावन जो है हर एक व्यक्ति के हृदय में घर है।
From our perception, this Rath Yatra is bringing Krishna, Balaram and Subhadra back into our hearts.
हमारी दृष्टि से ये रथ यात्रा का अर्थ है कि कृष्ण, बलराम और सुभद्रा को वापस अपने हृदय में ले आना।
It is this that this great procession symbolizes in our life.
यही है कि जो महान जुलूस हमारे जीवन में सबूत है।
We have been in separation from Krishna since time immemorial.
हम अनादिकाल से भगवान से अलग हो चुके हैं।
Our hearts have become like an empty desert.
हमारा हृदय जो है खाली रेगिस्तान की तरह बन गया है।
Looking for the pleasures of the desert of this material existence, our heart is longing for real satisfaction and fulfillment.
इस भौतिक रेगिस्तान में रहकर हमारा हृदय जो है पूर्ण संतुष्टि के लिए चाह रहा है।
That is only possible when we bring Krishna back into our hearts.
और वो तभी संभव है जब हम कृष्ण को वापस अपने हृदय में ले आएं।
Rath Yatra is the expression of the devotees begging Krishna, pulling Krishna, come back into my heart.
और ये भक्तों का जो भावना ये है कि कृष्ण और बलराम को अपने हृदय में खींचना कि वापस आप मेरे हृदय में आइए.
And Lord Chaitanya taught us by his practical example how to bring Krishna back into our hearts.
और अपने व्यवहारिक उदाहरण से श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु ने सिखाया कि कैसे हम कृष्ण को वापस हृदय में ले आएं.
By sincerely chanting his holy names.
सच्चे दिल से उनके नाम को पुकार कर.
हरे कृष्णा
कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे.
So Srila Prabhupada established this wonderful Ratayacha ceremony in practically every major city of the world.
Srila Prabhupada ji ne duniya ke anek mahatvapurna shaharon mein is utsav ko manvaya.
You will be very surprised.
Anyone,
jo bhakti ka vigyan hai, wo kisi ke sath kisi ke vyara suna ja sakta hai.
But it can only be understood by those who have these qualifications.
Lekin sirf usi ke dwara samjha ja sakta hai jiske andar ye gun hai.
Krishna explains to Arjuna that you bhakto sime shakashiti rahasyam yetadutamam. You can understand these teachings because you are my friend and my devotee.
भगवान कृष्ण अर्जुन को बताते हैं गीता में आप इस शिक्षा को समझ सकते हैं क्योंकि आप मेरे भक्त और मित्र हैं.
यू आर नॉट envious.
आप ईर्ष्यालु नहीं हैं.
श्री प्रभुपाद्स बुक्स हैव बीन डिस्ट्रीब्यूटेड टू मिलियंस ऑफ पीपल थ्रू आउट द वर्ल्ड.
और श्री प्रभुपाद जी की शिक्षाएं जो है पुस्तक जो है लाखों लोगों को बांटे गए हैं.
बट येट सर्टन पीपल इवन आफ्टर रीडिंग दीज बुक्स cannot understand.
लेकिन कुछ लोग ऐसे हैं जो इन पुस्तकों को पढ़ने के बाद भी समझ नहीं पाते.
What to speak of all the hundreds of editions of Bhagavad Gita that were translated and commented by previous scholars. They never could even describe the proper message of Gita.
और दूसरा उसका तो कहना है कि कई विद्वानों ने जो भगवद्गीता पर अनुवाद भगवद्गीता का अनुवाद किया है वो गीता के सही संदेश का वर्णन ही नहीं कर पाए.
दिस इज अ मिस्ट्री.
यह एक रहस्य है.
बट लॉर्ड कपिलदेव इज एक्सप्लेनिंग एग्जैक्टली व्हाई.
और यहां पर भगवान कपिल देव बता रहे हैं कि ऐसा क्यों है.
बिकॉज दिस मैसेज इज नॉन डिफरेंट देन द लॉर्ड हिमसेल्फ.
क्योंकि यह संदेश भगवान से अभिन्न है.
एंड ही रेसिप्रोकेट्स within our heart as we are hearing by revealing these truths according to our approach.
Aur hum jis bhavana se uske samne prakat hote hain uske anusar bhagwan isko darshate hain.
Srila Prabhupada is explaining in this wonderful purport so many of the factors which disqualify a person from perfecting their life even after coming to the Krishna consciousness movement.
और इस तात्पर्य में श्रीला प्रभुपाद ये बता रहे हैं कि कई अनेक कारण हैं जिसके कारण कृष्ण भावना में आने के बाद भी व्यक्ति पूर्णता नहीं प्राप्त कर पाता.
I will give an example.
मैं एक उदाहरण दूंगा.
There was an initiation ceremony.
एक दीक्षा समारोह था.
And Srila Prabhupada would accept whoever the temple presidents would recommend for initiation.
और मंदिर के अध्यक्ष जिसका भी नाम आगे बताते थे प्रभुपाद जी को उनको प्रभुपाद जी दीक्षा प्रदान करते.
Because he wanted to put a sense of responsibility in his leaders.
क्योंकि वो अपने नेताओं के मन में जिम्मेदारी की भावना डालना चाहते थे.
One temple president, he recommended a particular person for initiation who others in the temple were thinking, why him?
और मंदिर के अध्यक्ष ने एक व्यक्ति का नाम दिया दीक्षा के लिए और बाकी मंदिर के लोग सोच रहे थे इसका नाम क्यों दिया.
He appears that he has ulterior motives.
ऐसा पता चलता है कि उसके मन में दूसरे इरादे.
So the initiation ceremony took place.
दीक्षा समारोह पूर्ण हुआ.
This person who was living in the temple for several months.
ये व्यक्ति जो कई महीनों से मंदिर में रह रहा था.
He was initiated.
उसको दीक्षा प्रदान की गई.
The next day after initiation he left.
और अगले दिन ही वो दीक्षा के बाद छोड़कर चला गया.
He got what he wanted.
उसको जो उसे चाहिए था मिल गया.
And they all stayed there at the Khetri ground for some time learning the scriptures from Narottam Das and dancing and learning the beautiful process of the chanting of the holy name.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.
Then Rupa Narayan and Narsingha Maharaj, they went back to the kingdom and told the queen about Narottam Das Thakur's mercy. Her name was Rupa Mala. She was an ocean of good qualities. She was so beautiful and so gracious and humble in her behavior. When she heard about this, she immediately went to Khetri and fell at the feet of Narottam Das Thakur, and he gave the queen initiation. She vowed on that day to chant at least 1 lakh of Gauranga and Krishna's names every single day, which she followed through her whole life. Narottam Das Thakur and all the Vaishnavas were so very, very much pleased with her devotional behavior. There was a person named Harichandra Rai. He was a big, big dacoit, famous dacoit, robber, killer, murderer. Just by hearing the transcendental qualities of Narottam Das Thakur, his whole heart changed and he went and surrendered to him and became his disciple. Then there was another dacoit. He was the king of all the dacoits of Bengal area. He was so ruthless and murderous. His name was Chanda Rai. Some called him Chandra Rai. All other dacoits and all other leaders of dacoits all had to be answerable to him because he was so cruel. Everyone was so fearful of him. Anyways, this Chandra Rai, he was also a disciple of Goddess Bhavani. And one time, in a dream, Goddess Bhavani told Chandra Rai that I am disgusted with you. I am going to torture you and make you suffer. And she personally appointed a Brahmin ghost to constantly harass Chandra Rai. So he was totally miserable and frustrated for weeks and weeks at a time. He didn't know what to do. And then Bhavani appeared to him again and told him that your only hope is the shelter of the lotus feet of Narottam Das Thakur. So he went, because he had also heard about all these other dacoits surrendering to Narottam. So Chandrai came and he fell at the feet of Narottam Das Thakur and begged him to give him mercy. Narottam Das Thakur lifted him up, embraced him, gave him Hare Krishna Mahamantra, taught him the scriptures. From that moment on, Chand Rai became so humble. So humble. He wouldn't even hurt an insect. He was so honest and so pure and so perfect in his devotion. People.
And if we understand, sometimes we endeavor so hard for something that's less important, we neglect something that's more important. And we should take good guidance for that. If a husband neglects his family, that's also service. That's an over-endeavor for one service, but an under-endeavor for a service that's very sacred and must be maintained properly. And the overall result will be problems in Krishna consciousness. If we have a particular career like a businessman and we're just endeavoring, we neglect, we're doing it for Krishna ultimately. We want to give the money to Krishna, at least a portion of it. But we're neglecting our family, we're neglecting our children, we're neglecting our sadhana, we're neglecting properly reading. That is over-endeavor. That is why we have to have spiritual master and senior Vaishnavas to guide us, to create the proper balance in our life by which we can put our heart and soul and in full endeavor in such a way that we perform the greatest service and make the best progress in our devotional service.
So we need specific guidance. Is that all right? Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhu.
Maharaj, I want to ask something somewhat the opposite of what he asked. Is that if during our working lives we find very little time to actually do any service, and also if we get the time, somehow that enthusiasm to serve is not there. So what should we do to counter this unproductive kind of feeling? How should we get enthusiastic to serve?
You should be determined. Determination means I know it's right, I will do it. You don't have to be determined so much if you feel like it. But if you do not feel like it, but you know this is what I should be doing, you must do it. That is tapasya. That is how we make spiritual advancement. Don't be attached to what you feel like. Be attached to what is required. What Krishna wants. Does Krishna want me to go to sleep after a hard day's work? Or does Krishna want me to come to Radha Gopinath temple to chant and dance with Vaishnavas and hear the glories of Krishna? You ask that question. If you're sick, he may want you to sleep. And if you don't know the answer, you call up your father or your mother or your counselor. And you ask, does Krishna want me to come to the program tonight? Or does Krishna want me to go to sleep? And if the answer is Krishna wants you to come, then you should hurry fast as possible to Radha Gopinath. In Juhu, I don't know if it's still there, but when Prabhupada was giving lectures, sometimes in the background of his tapes you hear people just lifting weights and just making all noises of straining and struggling to somehow or other pick up this piece of steel. Why do they work so hard like this, perspiring and breaking their backs? Because they want to look strong. They want to be strong. But actually, if you really want to be strong in the material world, you should become a Yamaduta. Because the Yamadutas, they are really strong. They come and collect these weightlifters like a child collects a ant from the ground. They're so powerful with their weapons. But when the Vishnu Dutas came, the Yama Dutas understood that they will destroy us within a second. We have no power compared to them. So what are the opulences of the denizens of Vaikuntha? So beautiful, so incredibly strong, so incredibly learned. Such unbelievable fame. And their wealth, we are reading. They have the most precious jewels. Any one of their jewels that decorate their body is worth more than the whole treasury of the richest people of this world. They are Chintamani jewels. What is the wealth? But yet, although they are endowed with all these opulences, they are never proud. They are always conscious that it is all the property of Krishna, that I am the property of Krishna. It is all meant for the pleasure of Krishna. Whatever beauty there is of my body, it is only meant to give pleasure to Krishna. It is not meant to attract pleasure for myself. Whatever wealth, incredible wealth I have, and all the denizens of Vaikuntha have unlimited wealth, they think it is not to attract people for my satisfaction. It is all meant simply to give pleasure to Krishna.
It is all to be used for the service of Krishna. And whatever strength they have, whatever knowledge they have, whatever fame they have, the denizens of Vaikuntha have opulences, all six opulences, in such incredible degrees. But it is all completely and exclusively meant for the satisfaction of Krishna. And therefore it is Vaikuntha. It is a place with no anxiety. Because to the degree you want to use anything for your own selfish purposes, that creates anxiety. To the degree we are thinking about our own personal selfish interests apart from Krishna's interests, to that degree, potentially, we are envious, competitive, and disharmonious with other living beings. So Lord Brahma, at the very beginning of creation, saw what is spiritual society. How everyone is so harmoniously and lovingly together for Krishna's service. There may be many great saintly persons. There may be many advanced devotees of Lord Chaitanya. However, Srila Prabhupada's position is most unique. According to Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who is the ultimate authority of Lord Chaitanya's life and teachings, whose wonderful work, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, is the essence of the works written by Swarup Damodar Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Jiva Goswami. He is describing here that Lord Chaitanya came tasting the mellow of love of God. He taught this to his disciples, but he came to this world to taste it, especially to distribute it to everyone, without discrimination of who is fit or unfit. We could say, in the spiritual world, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also existing eternally in Krishna Loka. In his divine presence there, he is Krishna eternally tasting the nectar of the ecstasy of Radharani's love. But his descent into this world is especially munificent because he wants to give that love to everyone through the chanting of Hare Krishna. Of everyone within the disciplic succession of Lord Chaitanya to the present day, there was one personality who imbibed the true spirit of love and mercy of Lord Chaitanya and all of the great confidential acharyas that followed him by fulfilling the very purpose of Lord Chaitanya's descent into this world. To distribute this great treasure to anyone and everyone. As Lord Chaitanya is most munificent, one who takes his mission as their life and soul is also most munificent on his behalf. So we should understand Srila Prabhupada's glorious service to Lord Chaitanya. And sometimes Vaishnavas discuss very confidential topics of Radha and Krishna's Brajalila. Of course, Srila Prabhupada, within his books, explains all various stages of bhakti, from the beginning preliminary stages up to the most confidential topics.